Our Father and our God, we are grateful for life. We're grateful for eternal life. We're grateful for minds to think your thoughts after you. Father, we're grateful for all that you are and all that you've done. Father, draw near in Christ, we pray. Bless us and make us a blessing. Help us to worship you, Father, we pray this morning in spirit and truth, and receive our singing and our praying and our praising and our reading and our proclaiming as glorifying to your name. Father, draw near, we pray, and encourage us. Bind up our hurts and our worries and our fears and our doubts, and make us more like Christ, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. All right. I thought for this morning, as I hinted at last week, we'd talk about whether or not Jesus could have sinned. This is, we know Jesus did not sin. The Bible tells us that, right? In Hebrews, we read that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So we know Jesus did not sin, but the question is, could he have sinned? Was he able to, if the right situation had come along or what have you? And so that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit today. This is a debated issue within the church. You may have heard, or you may have had a pastor in the past that believed that he could have sinned. And in one sense, it doesn't really matter whether or not Jesus could have sinned because he didn't sin. But in another sense, it does matter, as we'll see. And I think we'll unpack that a little further here this morning. But I wanted to hear from you. What do you think and why? Could Jesus have sinned? And if you think he could have, tell me why you think that. If you think he couldn't have, I'd love to hear why you think he couldn't have sinned. Yeah.
So, of course, you know, I've said Jesus is God, and so that dual nature. So, but God cannot sin. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, in his humanity, in order to relate to us in our humanity, had to be tempted in every point that we are, yet without sin. So, to that question, I don't know. I know Aaron believes that he could have sinned.
Yeah. Okay.
And, but anyway, I know that's why.
Yeah. I didn't realize Aaron believed that. I'll have to ask him for some of why he thinks that. That would be a good conversation for us to have. Yeah. Nathan. Okay.
Because, if, like you said in the verse, he's tempted in every way, mm-hmm. we are, mm-hmm. without sin. Mm-hmm. If it's just like he has this sort of diplomatic immunity where it's impossible for him to choose sin, then he's not really tempted in every way as we are. Because when we're tempted to sin, we are not. We don't have to sin. We have the means of escape.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit, right? But we could sin. So, you know, it's the Spirit working within us that allows for this temptation. I think that he's tempted in every way. He does have the ability.
Okay.
Although obviously if he does sin, then he's not God.
Okay. So, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yep. What do you think?
I think he could as well.
You think he could? All right.
As the last Adam, mm-hmm. He had to be able to do what Adam failed to do for us, and the Hebrew says he was made like his brothers. Adam was what? Passe non peccare.
Right.
So I believe he came in that same condition as pertained to his manhood.
Okay. In order to be the second and final Adam?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Could you repeat that it's being said? I can't hear the thing.
Oh, okay. Most everyone so far, well, one person said they didn't know.
Yeah.
And two people, I think, so far have said that he could have sinned. Yep.
Kind of going along with what the others have said, if Jesus is always fully man and fully God, and being fully man, you have to also be fully capable of being able to sin.
Okay.
Did not sin in that humanity.
Okay. All right. Yep.
I'll just be contrarian.
Good. I like that. I like that.
I'll say, being back on the hypostatic union, I don't know how you can hold that he is fully God.
Excellent. Yeah.
But if God is capable of sinning, then Jesus could. But if you're going to hold that God is not capable of sinning, how are you going to hold
Yeah. I love your thinking there. So that's good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He could have sinned.
He said he could not have sinned, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
He could have sinned because he was made like men.
Okay.
So we never could use the excuse to say, well, Jesus couldn't sin.
Okay.
No, he was made like us.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he shows like this, he could stand against sin. We likewise should force and, you know, seek God's help to not sin.
Okay, good. Yeah, what do you think?
Would this be one of those issues that theologians of the past have discussed about curiosities? Our weak temporal mind cannot fully answer and be satisfied with.
Yeah. Yeah, whether or not that's true, but I think what I definitely would say is we don't know for sure because the Bible doesn't clearly answer that question, does it? And so I think whatever position we take, I'm going to take a position and I'm going to defend it here this morning. But the Bible doesn't clearly say, does it? We can't turn to, you know, Hebrews chapter 5 or whatever, right? There's no footnote to the passage that says Jesus, you know, was tempted in every way as we are yet without sin. And so, I think your point is a valid point, which is why I said, I'm not sure it really matters at the end of the day. What really matters is that, I mean, I think it does matter, but what really matters is that Jesus did not sin, right? He was without sin from beginning to end. But I'm going to argue that Jesus could not have sinned, that he could not have sinned, and there are many reasons why. First, remember we talked about the differences between a person and a nature. Jesus was one person with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. Natures, we said, don't do things. Persons do things. Persons do things by way of their nature. So you and I are human persons with human natures, which means we act as humans. Our person is doing the acting through and by way of the nature. We don't have bird nature, so we can't fly. So our persons can't act like birds. We can try, right? It's not going to work very well, is it? We don't have God's nature, so we can't do God's things. But Jesus had two natures. He was one person with two natures. His person was a divine person, the second person of the Trinity. So what we're saying, if you remember our little diagram, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it was the person of the Son that adds to himself, that has a divine nature, that adds to himself a human nature. Okay? This is the second person of the Son who adds to himself a human nature, true body, and a reasonable soul. So, if given that reality, if persons do things, i.e. sin, natures don't sin, persons do. We would have to say that his divine person, the second person of the Trinity, to come back to what you were saying earlier, could have sinned. And there's no way that God can sin. There are many things God cannot do. Lie, sin, change, cease to be. Sin, obviously, is one of them. So I think that pushes us, that's one point I would make, I think, that pushes us in the direction of saying that Christ could not have sinned. That raises questions about temptation. You guys have raised two things we need to deal with. One, how could Jesus then have been tempted as we are? Okay? And two, How could he be tempted at all? If he could not sin, how could temptation really be temptation? Right? So that is, those are the two questions we'll look at. I wrote them down there so I don't forget, so we can head that direction. But the first thing I would say is that sin is a personal category. And so if Christ was able to sin, then he was able to sin in his divine person, which means God is able to sin. And we cannot say that. Second, this is a little bit complicated, but if you look at Hebrews chapter 13, and look at verse 8, we read that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So what that tells us is that Jesus cannot change. Jesus is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Adam and Eve were created, they were created perfect, without sin, and I would say inclined to obedience. Okay? But they were created with a mutable will, a will that could change. It could change from serving God and obeying God, willing what God wanted him, Adam and Eve, to will, to willing what God didn't want Adam and Eve to will. Thus, the fall, the sin. But there's no mutable will in Christ. There's a mutable will in you and me as well. And one of the things that will change in us when we get to heaven is we'll no longer have a will that can change. We'll no longer have mutable wills in heaven. We will be worshiping and serving the Lord. That will be our greatest heartfelt desire forevermore. And we will not have the capacity, we won't have the capacity because we won't have the desire to change and worship anything else, right? But now we have a mutable will. Adam and Eve had mutable wills. But Jesus cannot have a mutable will because the apostle here in Hebrews 13:8 says that he does not change. Okay? Yes. Yes. Yes, that's a great question. What is natural or endemic to human beings is sin, or the capacity to sin. You might be able to say that the capacity to sin is natural to human beings, but we certainly were not created sinful. We are created perfect, right? So sin is certainly not part and parcel of what it means to be human. So if we say that if we say that Christ could not sin, then we're not. He doesn't therefore cease to be human because sin is not part of human nature the way God originally intended. And you and I were not only created perfect, but we'll be perfect in heaven, right? And I think maybe that's a better way of looking at it, because in heaven, we'll not only not sin, but we'll not be able to sin, okay? And we'll still be fully human in heaven. So that was my answer on that, is that Jesus became like us in every way, but he didn't have to assume he didn't have to sin to be human, to be like us in every way. And he certainly didn't have to be able to sin to be human, because you and I will be human in heaven. We'll be human forevermore. We'll never be anything other than human. We'll never be God. We'll be perfect human, but we'll never be God. And so Jesus didn't have to be able to sin to be like us. He simply had to be human. And so there's no aspect of our being that is unhealed if Jesus cannot sin. Okay? Does that help? Does that make sense? A little bit? It's good. Yes, in the back.
This is kind of the same species question that I was struggling with.
Yeah. Likeness.
Mm-hmm. And I have what we usually label something like an indwelling of sin. Right. That, like, once I come into the natural world, it's a guarantee I'm going to sin. So is it a misunderstanding to say that while Christ was made human, he is somehow fundamentally different from me in the same way that once he comes again, I will be made fundamentally different in some kind of way?
Yeah. What I would not want to say, I guess I wouldn't want to say that human beings were created able to sin, even though that is true. We were created able to sin, able not to sin. But really, that's because we were created with mutable will. Okay? And so the difference is that Jesus was created without a mutable will. Not that somehow Jesus' human nature is different, but he has a human will, but it's just not mutable. It can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you lost me a little bit on your question. Ask that one more time about a human nature. One,
Yeah.
Right.
When it seems like at least post Adam, it is my nature to sin.
Correct.
And that will fundamentally change.
That's right. But that's fallen nature. That's not fallen human nature. That's not human nature. Yeah.
Okay. So it might not be totally different to have some subcategory of HFN, HRN.
Well, what I would say is Jesus assumes a true human nature, but not a fallen human nature. Not human nature post-fall in terms of its effect on, not a sin nature, no original sin in Christ. And you and I, that human nature, that sinful nature that we have, now, or we don't have any longer because we're new in Christ, for those of us who are Christians. But when we get to heaven, we will also be fully human. We'll have human nature, but we won't have fallen human nature. Yeah. Yeah. That would be an accurate way of expressing everything except for Hebrews 13:8. Because you're giving Jesus a mutable will. And Jesus cannot, because in order to be able to sin, Jesus has to have a mutable will to be able to change, right, from willing what God wants him to will to willing what God doesn't want him to will. And so...
If he had a human nature alone, it would be like Adam, and so that would be possible because he's united to his nature.
But again, he'd have to have a mutable will. The will would have to be able to change, and Jesus does not change, cannot change. So, and notice it says here, not... the second person in the Trinity, it says Jesus Christ. So it's talking about the God-man here in terms of his human will. It cannot change. And so we cannot say, what you're saying is right. And we're going to talk about that in a second because there are several more points we can look at. But We cannot posit of the human nature that this will is exactly like ours in terms of its mutability. It is exactly like ours. It's a fully human will, but it's like our will in heaven. Okay? Our will in heaven will not be mutable. It will not be able to shift or change from willing what God wants us to willing what we want to will. There will be no selfishness in heaven. There'll be no pride in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven. God's will be our meat and drink forever. And so, well, wills are a part of the nature. So we have our human nature includes our body, our will, a reasonable soul, which is will, mind, affections, and then our human body, true body and reasonable soul. Yeah. Yes. Correct. Yeah.
So if it's true that in order for Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice, he had to become like us at every single point. But if I heard you correctly say Jesus did not have a mutable will, because he could not sin, how then can you say that he, because at that one point, he is not like man?
He is. He's like us in heaven.
But he's not mutable, so he cannot change. Mm-hmm. But that's one feature of a human being among many, is that he is mutable. He can't change. So Jesus can't change.
But it's not one feature of a human being, because you're still going to be human in heaven. You and I will still be human in heaven, but we will not be able to sin, because we won't have a mutable will. So God's will in heaven, in glory, will be our meat and drink perfectly all the time. That's not our reality here. That was not Adam and Eve's reality here either in the garden. Yeah.
So Jesus is God, right?
And yeah.
God's nature does not change.
Mm-hmm.
And one of God's character's traits is omnipotence. So he knows. Christ's will is not mutable, then he's not really free. And if he's not free to do...
Why wouldn't he be free? Define free.
Well,
he's free to do whatever he wants to do, but what he wants to do is to please God all the time.
Right, but if his will is immutable, then it's not simply that he wants to do it all the time, it's that he's unable to do it all the time. So, at that point,
will you be free in heaven?
Well, I think...
Are you going to be a robot in heaven?
I will
not. But you see my point. My point is, we will not be able to sin in heaven.
Right.
That doesn't mean we're not going to be free. We're still going to be free creatures, able to choose what we want to choose. But what we want to choose will only be, right, to give praise and glory to God. And that will be what we want to do for all eternity, right? It's just same. I think it's the same principle when you and I come to faith in Christ. We don't. That's the ongoing debate, right, between Arminians and Calvinists about free will. You know, what about predestination and free will and God's sovereignty and free will? Well, all we have to say, if we define free will, which I think is probably the best definition for free will, to say free will is the ability to choose what we want to choose, right, according to the greatest inclination at the moment, right? The ability to choose what we want to choose according to the greatest inclination at the moment. The reason I choose to eat chocolate cake this afternoon, which we don't have any, which we did, but anyway, would be because I really want some, right? But I'm freely choosing to have some. If I choose not to eat the chocolate cake, right, it's because at that moment, my desire to not have the chocolate cake is greater than my desire to have the chocolate cake. You and I will be free, but our wants, you see, in order to bring us to faith in Christ, All God is to do is change our wants. Right? And the same is true in glory. So we'll still be free and we'll still have free will, but our wants will be perfectly fixed on the Lord and what He wants. Yeah, and the same is true of Jesus when He came into the world. So He was free, but he was not able to sin. Okay? Good. Let's look at a couple more points. I'm sure we'll raise a couple more questions, which is great. I love the questions. So don't feel bad about asking questions. I love the questions. This comes to the point that we were making before. If Christ could have sinned, then what we're saying is the hypostatic union would be possibly able to be dissolved. Why do I say that? Because, say it again? Maybe so. But in this case, I'm thinking about the human nature and the divine nature, right? The hypostatic union, the union of the two natures in the one person of Christ. And if the human nature of Christ, if we say that Christ could have sinned, then...
God cannot sin.
Okay. So God cannot sin, and what's also true of God cannot sin, God cannot even look upon sin, right? God cannot be in union with sin. So if it's true that the human nature could have sinned, what we're saying is it would have been possible for the hypostatic union to be dissolved, to break apart, right? He didn't sin, thankfully. Whew. And so Jesus, the hypostatic union stayed together, and Jesus was our Redeemer. But you can see God would have been pacing heaven. So, oh, boy, I hope Jesus doesn't sin. I hope He doesn't, because then my whole plan for salvation is going to crumble. And people will still be in their sins. And I'll have to send another Messiah, right, or something. No, you get the point. I'm being facetious a little bit. But the point is, God cannot be in union with sin. And so if His human nature, because natures don't do things, but you see, in and through His nature, He could have sinned, then what we're saying is that hypostatic union, the union of the two natures in the one person, would at that moment have to be, would at that moment dissolve. And so we would have to say there's the potential from the very beginning for the hypostatic union to dissolve. Okay? And then, as I also indicated in what I just said, it would have to also be possible for God's decree to fail to come to pass. Right? To fail to come to pass. Acts 2.23. You want to look in Acts 2.23. Again, I understand what I'm arguing. Raises questions. We will deal with those questions. Okay? But I think the answer to these questions we don't answer these questions, in my opinion, by saying Jesus could have sinned. We answer these questions, as we'll see, keeping in mind that He can't have sinned. Okay, so Acts 2, verse 23, says, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Which is what I was saying before. If for some reason Jesus could have sinned, then the possibility would be there that He could not be the Redeemer that God had decreed from all eternity. And this passage tells us something different. That God planned and decreed and established ahead of time the fact that Jesus would die for you and me and our sins. So I think all of those things have to point in the direction of us concluding that Jesus could not have sinned, right? I'm waiting for the hands. Come on now. I'm
teasing. The word of God, a liar is a lie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's right. And God's decree would collapse, would fall to the ground. And
Jesus was absolutely impossible.
Correct. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, because God's decree has to come to pass. What God says will happen will happen, right? And by the way, this talks about foreknowledge here. This event, the cross, happened by way of God's foreknowledge. God's foreknowledge, sometimes we think of foreknowledge here in terms of foresight. That's not the biblical category of foreknowledge. God doesn't know what happens, right? I just dropped that pen. God knew that from before the foundation of the world. How did he know that? Did he know it because he looked ahead through the tunnel of time and he saw that at 10:44 on, what's today's date? May 3rd, 2026, I would drop that pen. No. He didn't see it in the future. He decreed it. God knows the future because he determined it would happen. Okay? Now, that also raises a lot of questions. What about tragedies? What about cancer? What about trauma? You're telling me God's decreeing those things? And yes, I am telling you that. And I'm telling you that God does that for your good and for my good and for our and for his glory. Romans 8:28, right? All things, God is working together for our good. So when it says the atonement, Christ dying on the cross for our sins, was God's definite plan and foreknowledge, it doesn't mean he looked ahead and saw that Jesus would actually make it to the finish line and he would die on the cross for our sins. It means God decreed it. He decreed the Son of God, his only begotten Son, dying. And that's why, as hard as it is for us to get our minds around the fact that cancer would be God's will for my life, or whatever trauma, fill in the blank, that we've experienced or will yet experience, is God's decreed will for our lives, that's hard. But the answer can't come apart from understanding that the death of his own Son was part of his decreed will as well. So God knows what it is to suffer loss. He knows what it is to lose a son. He knows what it is. He knows what we experience, right? In that. So I think that passage, all of these reasons, I think the best conclusion we can make is that Jesus couldn't have sinned. Okay? Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that Jesus is tempted by the devil.
Yep.
Like, it says he was in the desert 40 days and he was hungry.
That's right.
And the devil comes to him and he says, turn this to him. I'm hungry. Yep. There's nothing inherent wrong with you being hungry, but
right.
To do this,
right.
To have been sin.
Right.
For Christ. So, I think we that there's no reality where God is God, and he is who he said he is, where that Christ would have sinned, where he would have fallen and taken breath, that would be a contradiction in terms of God. But say he could have, when you say that there, it would be physically impossible for him to pick up the bread and eat, even though he's hungry.
Physically impossible? No. And here's where I've been kind of disingenuous with you guys, a little bit, because there's really two answers to this question. Could Jesus have sinned? I would say, yes, he could have. In this way, he has all the requisite traits to be able to sin. He has real testosterone flowing through his blood, so he could have lusted, right? He didn't. But he could have not insofar as he could have done that sin, but insofar as he has testosterone. So it's not that Jesus couldn't have lusted because he's not really a man. He doesn't really have any of that testosterone flowing through. No, 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 no. He has all the physical equipment that it takes to commit sin. So he could have in that way, right? It wasn't that he was physically, as you said, physically unable to sin. No. He's physically able to sin, but could not have sinned, right? So, yeah, we'll talk. That's your question about the temptation It's an excellent temptation. We'll look at that passage next week because we're out of time. We'll look at those. I'm going to keep those two questions on the board, and I'll probably take a screenshot of them too, just in case they get erased over the week. Yeah, for Wednesday night. Yeah, and there was one more question back here. Yeah. Sorry, and then we'll come. Well, the one behind you is also. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
That appears to be God's will.
Yeah.
Do you have a definition?
In terms of will, yeah, that's a great question that I've never been asked before. How would I define will? I don't know. It's that part of us that... it's the volitional part of our nature. Yeah, I don't. I'd have to look that up. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's a good question. But I think what Jesus is saying when he says, "Not my will, but yours be done," is there is a sinless reticence for Jesus to go to the cross. He doesn't want to experience the pain. He knows what's coming, and so he says, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me," right? But not my will, yours be done. And it's not that his will is for something different, because what we're saying is it's a sinless. He doesn't really want that. He's not looking forward to that, right? In a sinless way. It's hard for us to get our heads wrapped around that. But in a sinless way, he doesn't want to have to go through what he's about to go through. And so I think that's part of why he sweats drops of blood.
As pertains to his humanity.
Yeah.
Which is always the caveat I hear, as pertains to his humanity, this is it. But as pertaining to his God nature, he's always in agreement with whatever God wants.
Yeah, but in terms of his divine nature, remember, the will of his divine nature was the will of God, which is the will of the Father, which is the will of the Son. So there's no submission needed. So in a sense, what Jesus is saying in the garden is his human will is in submission to his divine will, which is the will of God. Yeah. So, great question. Anything else? Yep.
Mine might be short. For the third thing, I'm wondering, why would it be wrong, if it is wrong, instead of saying for Christ to be able to sin is for the hypostatic union to be able to be dissolved.
Yeah.
It seems to me that it would be for Christ to be able to sin is for the hypostatic union to necessarily be dissolved.
Yes.
Because the possibility exists.
Yes. But what I'm saying is that if Christ was able to sin, right, it wouldn't be dissolved until and unless he did sin. We know he didn't sin, right? So, but if he could have, then what we're saying is if Christ could have sinned, what we're saying is that the hypostatic union would then have dissolved if he had. But so we're saying that the hypostatic union from the beginning is possibly is able to be to fall apart, right? The hypostatic union could potentially be temporary if Christ could potentially sin. You see, that's so I'm just trying to say, and so my point is the hypostatic union is not able to fall apart. Never is that a possibility, so Jesus can't have possibly been able to sin. Okay?
Is it even possible that it could be temporary?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not. That's not even a possibility. That's right. So he can't have possibly even been able to sin. Right? That's my point. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just going to say, Corinthians 2, he says that Paul, being found in fashion as a man,
humbled himself and believed. Sure. Yeah, that's exactly right. In terms of his will, right, was to do the will of his heavenly Father all the way to the cross. Yeah, and praise God that is so, because we are the beneficiaries, aren't we? So on that note, let's close with a word of prayer, and then next week, Lord willing, we'll answer these two questions about the temptation and get more into that aspect of things. Because if Jesus could have sinned or could not have sinned, could he really have been tempted genuinely? Okay, that's what we'll talk about next week. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this time together. We're grateful for your word, right? It's truths on our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would help us to develop minds, to think your thoughts after you. Give us a latitude, Father, where your word is not clear. But Father, help us to be, and be gracious with one another. But Father, I pray that you would help us again to think your thoughts after you and to think biblically about all things, including whether or not Christ could have sinned. And I pray that you'd receive the praise and the glory for whatever side we come down on this debate. And I pray, Father, that you'd receive again the praise and the glory. Prepare our hearts for worship if we've not yet been. And Father, bless us, we pray, and make us a blessing in this week ahead. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.